Welcome to the ABCs of Rock. I am your host, Nathan Shore, and I should say welcome to episode 2, in which we have moved on to the letter B. As I said in the previous episode, the form of the show will feature an artist or band for each episode starting with A, going to Z. Last week we covered the letter A, and I highlighted 10 songs from Adam Ant. Adam Ant was an obvious choice for me, since I think he's a brilliant musician and a very underappreciated one. There are many, many songs of his that have flown under the radar. And that's the theme of the show, to highlight an artist or band's catalog of music that a casual fan might not be too familiar with. Well, for this week, I made things a lot harder for myself, as I will be covering arguably the biggest band of all time, the Beatles. This was a challenge because they have so many well-known songs that I found it not easy to find both songs that were great, but also not the most popular. Before I get started, I should give a little backstory to my relationship with the Beatles. I can remember, like most people of my vintage, hearing Beatles songs going way back to my early childhood. And of course, it was probably their most popular and accessible songs. But it wasn't until I was an early teenager that I really identified them as a group. From the ages of 12 to 16, for some reason, I found myself enthralled with listening to the Oldies channel. Back then, they only played music from the 50s and 60s, and I found myself listening to bands that nobody else my age had even heard of. Bands like Herman's Hermits, the Bo Brummels, Lou Christie, and Three Dog Night. My friends would look at me like I had three heads when I'd reference these unknown bands. And of course, during this time, I would hear lots of Beatles songs on the radio. Fast forward to college, I, like many others during my college years, went through a heavy Beatles phase. I remember I had a roommate who was equally excited to discover their deep catalog, and we would take turns purchasing CDs for our dorm room. He bought Sgt. Pepper, I would buy Magical Mystery Tour, he would buy Let It Be, I bought Abbey Road, and so on. And I can proudly say that I did in fact have a chance to see a Beatle in concert. In October 2002, I saw with some friends Paul McCartney perform in Anaheim. It was a terrific show, even though our seats weren't too good. One final thing about these 10 songs. I picked these because I really like them, and I feel they're rather underrated. I know there are going to be some out there that will notice that my list heavily favors songs written by Paul McCartney. All I can say is that it's pure coincidence. I love both Paul and John equally. And if I were to compile a second list of 10 songs, they could just as easily be favoring John. But what I can say is that my list does include contributions from all four members. So without any further ado, let's get started. I start off every episode with a disclaimer of songs you won't be hearing, mostly because they are already very popular. What you won't be hearing on this show is Here Comes the Sun, Come Together, Let It Be, Hey Jude, Yesterday, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Blackbird, In My Life, and Help. All brilliant songs, but you've heard them hundreds of times already. The first song on our list is Do You Want to Know a Secret, written by John Lennon and performed by George Harrison. It comes off the album Please Please Me from 1963, produced by George Martin. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. Listen. Alright, that was Do You Want to Know a Secret? It was the first top 10 song to feature George Harrison on vocals, actually, and it reached number 2 on the Billboard charts. In 1980, John Lennon said he gave Do You Want to Know a Secret to George Harrison to sing because, unquote, it only had 3 notes and he wasn't the best singer in the world, but added he has improved a lot since then. That certainly is vintage John. If you like that song, there's really a cool instrumental version of that song sung by Johnny and Santo. Actually, let me rephrase that. Santo and Johnny. It's easy to get that mixed up. If you are familiar with them, you could totally picture their cover of it. I love their guitar tone. They are best remembered for their instrumental guitar classic Sleepwalk. Next up, we move ahead to a song off the 1964 release A Hard Day's Night. The song is You Can't Do That. It was written by John Lennon and features some really cool guitar soloing by him. The song was released as a B-side to Can't Buy Me Love. Here's one of the lyrics I really like. I got something to say that might cause you pain. If I catch you talking to that boy again, I'm going to let you down and leave you flat. Because I told you before, oh, you can't do that. Take a listen.
I got something to say that might cause you pain. If I catch you talking to that boy again, I'm going to let you down.
That was You Can't Do That, lead vocals, of course, by John Lennon. If you enjoyed that song, you gotta check out the amazing cover by the great Harry Nilsson. It adds something completely different to the song that I think you'll love. Next up is Honey Don't. The Beatles were known for their early covers, and this definitely is one of their best. Written by rockabilly legend Carl Perkins and released in 1956. I love rockabilly, and this song satisfies all my senses. Honey Don't is one of those rare songs that the Beatles have separately recorded or performed on stage. Here's a lyric from it. Well, I love you, baby. You ought to know. I like the way you wear your clothes. Everything about you is so doggone sweet. You got that sand all over your feet.
You do, baby, when you don't. Let me know, honey, how you feel. Tell the truth now, is love real? But well, honey, don't.
So glad I got a Ringo song in there. Yes, that was Ringo on vocals. If you dug that, I suppose it would be obvious you should check out the Carl Perkins original. But if you're looking for something else, I recommend the version sung by Stray Cats bassist Lee Rocker. Next up from the album Help is I've Just Seen a Face, written by Paul McCartney. It was recorded on June 14th, 1965 at EMI Studios. This is one of my all-time favorite Beatles songs. If I were to make a top 10 of all my favorite songs, this would certainly be on it. I was surprised to learn that this is their first fully acoustic song. It was written by Paul, and before its recording, the song was briefly titled Auntie Jin's Theme, after Paul McCartney's father's younger sister, because it was one of her favorites. Also, it is one of the few Beatles songs that lacks a bass track. Here's a lyric from it. I've just seen a face. I can't forget the time or place. Where we just met, she's the girl for me, and I want all the world to see we've met. DDD. Here we go.
Time or place where we just met, she's just the girl for me, and I want all the world to see we've met. Falling, yes, I'm falling, and she keeps calling me back again. Falling, yes, I'm falling. She keeps calling me back again. Oh, falling, yes, I'm falling, and she keeps calling.
All right, I really hope you enjoyed that. As far as covers, there's really an unusual version by the Paperboys, a Cajun slamgrass cover of it. Yes, you heard me right. Next up from the 1965 release, Rubber Soul, is another one of my all-time favorite Beatles songs, I'm Looking Through You, written by and lead vocals by Paul McCartney. Here's a lyric. You're thinking of me the same old way. You were above me, but not today. The only difference is you're down there. I'm looking through you, and you're nowhere.
Treat me right. Love has a nasty habit of disappearing all the night. I'm looking through you. Where did you go? I thought I knew you. What did I know? You don't look different, but you have changed. I'm looking through you. You're not the same.
All right, that was I'm Looking Through You. What a great song. It was recorded on November 10th and 11th, 1965. McCartney wrote the song about English actress Jane Asher, his girlfriend for much of the 1960s, and her refusal to give her a stage career and focus on his needs. The line, "You don't look different, but you have changed," reflects his dissatisfaction with their relationship. The lyrics also refer to his changing emotional state. Love has a nasty habit of disappearing overnight. Love that mix of John's acoustic guitar and George's lead guitar. They complement each other like nothing else. If you dug it as much as I did, there is a really beautiful rendition of the song by roots rocker Steve Earle, so I suggest you look that up. All right, the countdown moves on. My sixth song is off Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Of all the songs in this episode, it's probably the most popular or well-known song. That doesn't matter. I still love it and it deserves the extra attention. The song is Lovely Rita, written by Paul McCartney and recorded in February and March of 1967 at EMI Studios. Try to listen for the Beach Boys-inspired backing vocals. According to Paul, they were heavily influenced on the song at this time. Here's a lyric from the song. Standing by a parking meter when I caught a glimpse of Rita. Filling in a ticket in her little white book. In a cap she looked much older. In the bag across her shoulder made her look like a military man.
Standing by a parking meter when I caught a glimpse of Rita. Filling in the ticket in a little white book. In a cap she looked much older. And the bag across her shoulder made her look a little like a military man.
That was George Martin on piano, of course. According to some sources, Lovely Rita originates from when a traffic warden named Mita Davies issued a parking ticket to McCartney outside Abbey Road Studios. Instead of becoming angry, he accepted it with good grace and expressed his feelings in song. When he asked why he called her Rita, McCartney replied, "Well, she looked like a Rita to me." There are contradictory stories about how they named the song, but for this episode's purpose, we're just going to go with that. Of course, if you're inclined to seek out a very cool version of Lovely Rita, you wouldn't have to look much further than the iconic Fats Domino. I highly recommend it. It's very different, and he adds his unique touch to it. It's very cool. Up next is the song Your Mother Should Know, recorded in August-September of 1967 at EMI Studios, written by Paul McCartney. It was titled after a line in the 1961 film A Taste of Honey. Its lyrical premise centers on the history of hit songs across generations. McCartney said he wrote it as a plea for generational understanding and respect for a mother's life experience. This comes off an album that I think has lost some favor over the years, Magical Mystery Tour. I feel it's looked upon as the peak of their psychedelic experimentation, with a lot of critics believing it's unfocused and aimless. Well, you can be the judge. Here's a lyric from the song. Lift up your hearts and sing me a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long time ago, your mother should know, your mother should know.
Let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before.
Right, that was Your Mother Should Know. I had a hard time finding a decent cover, but I gotta say that Kenny Ball and his Jasmine brought some interesting swing to the song. Go seek it out if you're interested. Alright, our next song is off the 1968 double album known by most people simply as The White Album. Technically, the name of the album is The Beatles, but we all refer to it as The White Album. The song I'm going to play is Mother Nature's Son, recorded on August 1968 at EMI Studios. This is sort of continuing the mother theme here. I don't know. It's probably just a coincidence. The song was inspired by a lecture given by the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi while the Beatles were in India. The same lecture inspired Lennon's song Child of Nature, the tune of which he later reused for Jealous Guy. According to Paul McCartney, he was inspired by Nat King Cole's song, Nature Boy. McCartney performed the vocals, acoustic guitars, tambourine, and bass drum. Yes, this was definitely the beginning of the tensions that were taking a toll on the band. Here's a lyric from the song. Find me in my field of grass, Mother Nature's son. Swaying daisies, sing a lazy song beneath the sun. Mother Nature's son.
Sit beside a mountain stream, see her waters rise. Listen to the pretty sound of music as she flies.
That was Mother Nature's Son, truly one of their great songs. And if you want to seek out a cover of that song, I guess I'm recommending another great Harry Nilsson cover. You should definitely check that out. It's an absolutely beautiful rendition of the song, in my mind, practically on par with the original. If you love the song, you have to check his out. You won't be disappointed. All right, there are two songs left. On January 30th, 1969, the Beatles performed their infamous rooftop concert. They recorded five songs that day. Only a total of nine takes were recorded before they were shut down. One of those songs was I've Got a Feeling, written by Paul McCartney. I've Got a Feeling has a complicated history. It was originally recorded by John Lennon prior to the Let It Be sessions. It was also used in one of Yoko Ono's art films, Rape No. 6. I dare you to seek that out. It's a combination of a song composed by John Lennon and a song composed by Paul. Both share dueling vocals, and the interplay between them is absolute bliss. Oh, and before we get into it, here's a lyric. Everybody had a hard year. Everybody had a good time. Everybody had a wet dream. Everybody saw their sunshine. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I've got a feeling, yeah. Everybody had a hard year. Everybody had a good time. Everybody had a wet dream. Everybody saw the sunshine. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody had a good year.
All right. I really dig that song. I like it because it's one of the Beatles' straightforward, gritty, hard rock songs. And if you're looking for a cover of that song, there are several to choose from, but I'm going to suggest a really cool cover by Tesla. If you're a fan of that song and of Tesla, check it out. They do a fantastic job. And that brings us to our last song. Written by John Lennon, it was the first song recorded for Abbey Road sessions, and it was the last to be finished on August 20th, 1969, the last time all four Beatles were together in the studio. It's got a long runtime, 7 minutes and 47 seconds, which I say makes it the longest Beatles song off a studio album. Yeah, technically Revolution No. 9 was longer, but really, is anyone going to the defense of that song? Is it even a song? I don't know. The song was a grower for me, actually. When I first got into Abbey Road, I was drawn to the big singles and, of course, the closing medley. Over the years, I've garnered a deep appreciation for this song, and I hope you do too. The song is I Want You, She's So Heavy. And later, if you're looking for an even longer version of it, I encourage you to check out the Funkadelic guitarist Eddie Hazel's cover of the song. So from me, Nathan Scherer, I thank you for turning in this episode of the ABCs of Rock, and I'll see you next week.